Hey, Hound Dogs, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. Today we have a guest, Josue Kure, who is the creator of Reaper Rules. I don't know if you can see that. Yeah. So we thought we'd have you on and sort of... we met through, I think it was like list launch kind of a thing.
Oh yeah, actually we were partners in that.
Yeah.
We were learning together, and we were doing some of the exercises together to figure out what our Kickstarters would be, how much they would cost, you know, how much money we would have to make it. Like mine was started out at I think 2000 when I made my first Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were both working on that together.
Right. Yeah. So we actually have never spoken until today. So it was just...
Yeah, we never met like this. So we're mostly texting.
Right. And on messaging on Facebook and stuff. So it's nice to actually say hi in person.
Yeah.
I noticed on your Facebook that you list that you're a comic book producer, engineer, inventor, patent holder, 3D parts designer, podcaster, and fabricator.
Yeah, and more to come. Teacher,
yeah.
Maybe or something.
Yeah.
I do a lot of stuff, and I'm interested in a lot of stuff. So, but primarily, how I make my money is as an electrical engineer.
And you work for the Navy, or?
Yes, I work for the U.S. Navy.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're a civilian working for the Navy.
Yeah, I'm a civilian government worker.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you like that work at all?
Yeah, I like it. It's just that I've been in it for 12 years. So I kind of want a career change now.
Right.
And I've been trying to, because I did a part-time job as a STEM teacher at Vinci School in Alexandria, Virginia. And I really liked it. So I figured I want to do that for the next, 10 years, 12 years, and then start my own school.
Huh.
And I kind of want to introduce VR as the main way on how to teach kids so they are interested in it, even through high school, because high school can be very boring. So if you make it fun and, you teach kids, I had a lot of trouble learning. So I want to kind of give back and use my engineering a little bit too to give back. So for the future engineers. So
you were, in a little pre-show chatter, you were telling us about your background, which is really interesting. So your family is sort of Syrian Ecuadorian, or am I getting that
right? My family, my dad and my mom were born in Ecuador, but my great-great-grandfather was from Syria. He immigrated through Turkey into Ecuador. And, everybody mixed together, but there's probably Spanish, Ecuadorian, native Ecuadorians and Syrian in there. So, and probably a whole bunch more. I did a 2-3-and-me, and it was just like the whole map was just everywhere. I don't know.
Every color you're there. Yeah.
But mostly, I think it was mostly Spain and some Native American. I forget what I saw, but
and you spent a couple years in Ecuador.
Yes, I was 9 years old when I moved there. My brother was 10, and we both went to a military school in Ecuador, and they were very tough out there, but they pushed you real hard. And I was there for 2 years, and we were able to learn how to write in Spanish because we knew how to speak in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we were able to actually gain a year. My brother and I skipped a grade when we came back to the United States. And I graduated high school when I was 16. So I was able to start college very easily, very fast.
I actually graduated high school at 16.
That's awesome.
I skipped a year in high school.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's good.
Yeah, the way it was, I had a class where we had the biggest thing you have to have, at least in Texas where I'm from, is English. Hard to believe, but English is the, and I had gotten most of those credits early on because I was in this sort of, a career design or career curriculum where it was a lot of English. So I had all those credits, and then I needed what they called civics at the time to get out. And, you have to be a senior. Well, okay. So I became a senior and got out. So
that's awesome. Yeah. It's good to graduate early. I mean, you lose a little bit. I feel like you get out too early and you're kind of like missing something. I feel like I've always missed something. Like I missed a couple of years of hanging out with friends.
Because
I went straight to college, straight to work. Like I felt like an adult at 16. But, to get started, you know? It's good to get started early.
Was it your idea to go to Ecuador first, military
No,
school?
Not at all. Okay. We didn't even know we were going there. We went there on vacation every year. So this one year, we went there and we didn't come back because my mom needed to go to school for 2 years for computers. So, yeah.
Okay. Well,
but we stayed with my grandmother and grandfather, which were amazing.
Okay. Well, at least you weren't just, we're leaving you here. Bye. And where was this?
I loved it out there. It was really fun.
Where was the school?
I had friends at the table. We would play soccer. I introduced them to hockey, football. I brought it all over.
So where was the school located?
The school was located in a small town in Ecuador called Quevedo. Mm-hmm. It's in the province of Los Ríos, which is like closer to the coastline of Ecuador. I went there for 2 years, and it was a private school. So we were very fortunate to be able to go there.
Hmm. So you're originally from, you said, New York?
Yes, New York City. I was born and raised in New York City, in Queens, New York. And my brother and I basically, when we came back, I was able to go to college. She was able to go to the Air Force. So we took different routes. And from there, I moved to Indiana for 7 years and then Maryland. Now I've been here for four years and I'm trying to move to Florida in March. So that should be my final move. We'll see what happens.
Never say final. You never know. And you're married for
yes.
3 years?
Yes.
And you want to tell us about your lovely wife?
Oh, yes. Oksana, we both went to the same schools together. We always crossed each other, but we didn't really ever talk that much until later on in life. And about the age 27, 28, we started talking on Facebook and we met up as friends. And, you know, it was all history from there. We have a little daughter now, Lana. She's 2.5 years old and she's great. She's very sweet. She actually did a sterile processing before she had Lana, which was cleaning medical equipment.
Right.
And right now she's changing careers to a veterinary assistant. So she's doing the curriculum right now. So.
It must be kind of your daughter's not going through the terrible twos or anything.
Oh yeah. But I feel like it's been terrible like since baby. I mean, she's like, woken us up. I mean, I can't say that. I mean, there's always sweet points and terrible points. So I think it's all part of them. I mean, it's always going to be like that.
Yeah.
I think. We also have a little cat, Munchkin, which we just got. So, and she loves that cat. Oh. They get along so great. Yeah.
I always heard that, was it like two is how they're going to be as teenagers or something like that? Or three? I don't know.
This is a foreshadowing of how she will be at 13 and hate me probably.
And they'll get over that. You're start off with your profile says you're an inventor and patent holder. Is there anything we would have known that you've invented?
It's very niche, but it's to do with sonar equipment. And I was able to work with a few other engineers, one mechanical, one software. And we were able to create a system that would automatically tune a sonar to a certain frequency. And that is probably marketable to maybe three people in the world because not a lot of people work on that. But yeah. It's something that I was even asked one time, can you guys do this? And we was like, yeah, apparently we just got a patent for it. So you can use it if you want.
I mean, does it have military, you know?
It's military. It's only military, really. And nobody else is going to end up using it. There's patents you can put in the Navy that I've heard other Navy engineers that were marketable and they get royalties on.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't made one like that. I have two patents, and they're both from the same thing. It's just one is a system, one is the method. It's a divisional patent.
Uh-huh.
But I hope to get more in the future, but I want the next patents to be more teaching related. I know my mentor, Dr. Dan at Vinci School in Alexandria, she invented some of these iPad holders. So you can hold the iPad with both your hands. Uh-huh. If you're like 5 years old. So right. They fit 5 year old. And she was able to patent that. So yeah. And she was an engineer too. She was an electrical engineer and went into teaching later in her life.
Huh.
She's a doctor. Yeah.
Are you going to need to get a doctorate in teaching or anything, or you can do it with an
No,
engineer?
I think that's mostly if you want to be a professor in college or if you want to do research. I just don't see myself doing a doctorate unless I want the doctor in front of my name, like Dr. Cure. That would be really cool. But
Yeah.
I don't see myself doing a doctorate right now. I have a master's, and that should get me far enough, hopefully. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Reaper rules. I didn't
Yes,
get to see
and
that right on.
it's
There
so
you
great you have it on you. I was trying to find mine, but it's all deep in my closet. I don't have it out. I have it on Comixology.
Okay, you do? That's good.
Yes, I actually do, and it was, I just found out how to do that, and I got it through. So,
what was the tell us about, if somebody doesn't know what Reaper rules is about, what is it about?
actually, what's funny is that it started out as an idea between my coworker, which is the writer of the comic book, Tim Gomez, and I. We were sitting at work one day, and we were just like talking about making a comic book one day. It was just like kind of like a joke. Oh, it'd be so cool if we make a comic book. He's like, what would it be like about? And start talking about what we like. I love ninjas and samurais and stuff like that. And he likes that stuff too. He likes martial arts and everything. So we really wanted something bloody, something bloodier than what we're used to seeing in comic books. I try
Yes.
to go, especially if you check out the last pages, it gets really bloody. But basically we said, how about we give them rules? Like, not only are they contract killers, but they have rules that they abide by. They have a code. They don't just do things the way they want. Although there's a brother that is like that wants to go against the rules. So that's what we call it, Reaper Rules. So John is their kind of like their father, I would say. They're aliens.
Yes, that was the only, yeah, I was going to wait for you to
They're
mention
contract. Yeah, they're
that.
rescued by him. They're contract killers, and that's how he keeps them safe. So they have something they can do and keep them safe from whoever's after them.
So one of the things that we're trying to figure out is who's the ideal reader for this? Who do you think is the
Oh,
your
I don't
market?
know. I put on there, I put 18 to dead. So I'm thinking anyone between 18 and 150, I don't know, like whatever humans can live to. But I'm thinking anybody can enjoy it because it's heartfelt too. I mean, there's even a page where John is hugging Ryan, which is the trouble child, but it has a little heart to it, which I really like. Because sometimes in comic books, there's so much action and you get lost in the action. There's no real story, you know? And I love stories. So we try to really, even though it was maybe a little boring for some people, but I like to put those in there, you know? And Tim wrote all of it. We were just just hashing out ideas here and there about the outline. So he's the meat and potatoes guy. I wish he was here actually, because I was trying to get him on, but he knows way more than I do about where it's going and where it's going to go. But we always hash things out. We always brainstorm.
So
So
you said that you're working on issue number two?
we already wrote the script for two, and we're up to page 30 for pencil and ink,
Wow.
and we're up to page 20 on color and flats and color. So we have great artists. Dennis Patcher, he's our pencil and inker and our letterer, by the way. He did everything in the first episode, but we're trying to like offload a lot of that stuff. So we gave the color and flats to Ewan, our act. I don't know if you know him, Ewan. He's our colorist, but he's very good. He's from Indonesia. And then we have a few, another artist for another web series that we have, Jackson Gibbion, for Living with the Undead. That it's a free web series on our Facebook account.
Wow. You have a
So
lot of stuff
we're
there.
trying to stay busy, and we have another comic book coming soon to just take a break from Reaper Rules, which is Superfoods, and that's about, food and superpowers and just average people. Nothing like super muscular freaking Vin Diesel. No, these are just regular average people, and it's a lot of dark humor. So we want to have fun with this one, a
Isn't
lot of dark humor.
Popeye your sort of your first superfood kind
Well, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Popeye is definitely an inspiration with the spinach.
I just realized that when we're talking, it's like, hey, Popeye used to eat
Yeah, I just realized
spinach, I
that.
guess,
No,
from
but our angle is that a lot of foods have GMOs in it, and it affects people differently because of their DNA, different DNA. So we're going with that route. Yeah.
So it sounds kind of scientific.
A little bit. Yeah, we're putting a little science in there. That makes it more fun. I love when science kind of tries to be real, but it's not. I like that a lot.
Or was it in this Island Earth when MST3K did it? There was a thing back where when science didn't have to have a purpose.
Now everybody's nitpicking everything. Like, the Mandalorian didn't have the rocket launcher on his next scene. I'm like, okay, it's not real. But it's like, I think Neil deGrasse Tyson one time said, is it true that when you go into space, like, you become like ice cube, like, you know, like, you become very cold? And he's like, well, the temperature's kind of normalized, so you don't get cold that quick. But why would I discuss that when they have a talking raccoon? Like, it makes no sense for me to, like, criticize that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he had a perfect response to that, because fantasy is not supposed to make complete sense.
Right. No, that's true. So do you have a website for this? If people wanted to buy it, how would they?
It's actually bloodyreapercomics.com. And we try to I actually update it myself. My friend helped me with it. It's on his server, so I don't have to pay anything. But we're able to post updates on there, like if we have a new Kickstarter, or if you want to get our comic book on Comixology, the link is on there.
Okay.
So everything is on bloodyreapercomics.com, or you can check us out on Facebook, Bloody Reapers Comics on Facebook. So, okay. But we want to increase our audience. You know, every time we come up with a comic book, we try to market ourselves more.
Mm-hmm.
And also try to do a Kickstarter. Like our Kickstarter history, it started out kind of shaky because we put it up at 2000 and we went only up to 638. And so we had to relaunch. And I never dealt with Kickstarters before, so I thought we were over. But we put it up at 800. We made this paper. We gave things more prizes.
Uh-huh.
And we ended up getting, like, I think 10 more backers or something. And we left that at 800. So we were able to get enough to print copies. Not a lot, but enough copies to get it out there. So the next Kickstarter, I want to make it a little bigger and see how it goes. But I think it's just a learning process. You know, it's our first comic. So.
Oh, yes. Power Squared is our first comic. You know.
Yeah, but you guys have so many awesome, like, comics already written and finished. Like, we're just going little by little, piecemeal, once a year. We're so slow.
Well,
but you guys,
we're trying to keep the people busy. You know, we don't want them to go off into other projects. We have to keep feeding them. So.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that's the hardest part, is losing an artist or something. Yeah, they don't have enough time. Especially with coronavirus, I've been dealing with that a lot. So.
Yeah, we've had two artists on the book, and we've had five colorists,
maybe.
It's just that they've, you know, do it for a couple of issues and move on. It's not that we get rid of them so much.
I think the previous interview they had, I think she said that she was trying to keep some continuity, right, into the color.
Yeah, Julia, the current one is, We've made the previous colorists, as they leave, to update, like, all the colors they've used for certain characters or whatever, so that the next person doesn't have to reinvent it, and there's a continuity to it.
Well, like, in this episode 2 is going to look totally different, because Dennis, even though he's the same penciler and same inker, he was trying to make it even more realistic and more highlights, so there's going to be a lot of more blacker tones.
Mm-hmm.
And Ewan, he asked me, do you want me to keep the same colors? I'm like, no, just do whatever you want. So it's going to look totally different. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we don't do continuity, I guess. I mean,
well, we were trying to
do, like, we get a new artist. Like,
Well, we had that a little bit when we changed artists. There was a change in style, which we think was for the better.
Yeah.
Awesome.
If we could afford it, that we would like her to redo the first five, but, you know, we can't afford that. So
that's true, man. I would love to be able to afford that. Like, just make it, like, maybe make Reaper Rules cartoony and funny or something. That would be hilarious. Like, he chopped somebody's head off and then just laughed about it. Huh? But you know, that's Superfoods. Superfoods is going to be like that, where it's like, oh my God, you know, like, his arm's off or something, you know? But yeah. I actually love the boys. It's kind of like that, so that's kind of what we're going for.
Okay, looking forward to when. So whenever you get ready to launch that as a Kickstarter, let me know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Maybe we'll have you back on to talk about it. How's that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would love to be on again.
So you also have a podcast?
I do. It's about technology. It's maybe kind of boring for people, but and I'm trying to get better at it because I'm kind of monotone when I read. I don't know why, but I'm trying to like have a little bit more style in my voice when I have podcasts. But it's mostly just news. Like the last one I did was about Boston Dynamics, and I talked about VR headsets. The next one I was gonna do was face swapping. I forgot what that's called, but when you change somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
So I read articles about it, and I write a little essay about it, and I kind of read it out for the audience.
Yeah.
The first episode I did was on, I think it was on Neuralink.
Yeah.
And I just totally like just ranted the whole time. So you'll see the progression. I have more. It's more organized. I have like little jingles and stuff, but I'm trying to get better at it.
So, it's called Technocrat.
Yeah, Technocrat.
And do you do the videos yourself, or you just take it from?
I do everything myself on this app that I have on my phone. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty amazed. You did your Kickstarter thing on your phone too. Your little video.
Everything. Oh my, that was so hard. And now that I have an iPad, it'll be a lot easier. But I did everything on my phone. It was amazing because back then I didn't have internet. I just had 4G, so I was doing everything on my Verizon account.
Wow.
So, because I was trying to just save money.
Yeah. Wow. I will say I was really impressed that you did your video on your phone. That was.
Thank you. So yeah, that one I used my voice and I high pitched it. I put it on high pitch on my phone. There's like this little thing that you can make it high pitch or not high pitch but low pitch or something,
uh-huh.
And yeah. You make it seem like you're a tough guy. And so it came out really good.
Yeah, no, it was good. And so, yeah, so you do all, do you do the whole Technocrat thing on your phone?
Yeah, all of it on my phone. I have a little speaker that I connect to the phone, and I put it on my collar and just talk through there.
Love their mic or whatever.
I would like to afford a nice mic, but I don't want to spend that much money.
Well, you also have other expenses like child.
Yeah,
you
know.
So how often do you post on that?
I try to post every Friday, but I get caught up, and sometimes it goes a month without posting. But every time I post, I try to make sure I do a good job with it. I don't want to post something that doesn't make sense.
You get a lot of views too. Yeah. I looked at your channel and tried to watch and understand one of the videos, and okay, not for me. But you do get a lot of views on there. That's good.
Oh yeah, the last one got like a little more views, but. Yeah, like the first few videos, they're just rants. It's really hard to get through it. Now I'm trying to keep it small and like organized.
Very impressive. Thank you. So you also, if that wasn't enough, you also design women's earrings?
Yes, I do. I use Shapeways, and I work with my mom to sell earrings to her friends. I just sold like 4 or 5 earrings like last 2 or 3 months. And I designed them on this AutoCAD, on my phone actually again. it's a 3D software on my phone on Shape, and it's free. And basically I make like different designs, unique designs that you wouldn't find anywhere. And then Shapeways, you can create them in like brass, plated gold or silver, you know, things like that. And they'll make them for you, they'll send them to you. And what I do is that when they get here, I prepare them with the backings and the box, and then I send them out. So, and they're like 40, 50 bucks. So wow. I'd like to make it more expensive, but right now I'm just trying to, you know, get clients.
So, like I mean, what got you started doing that?
That was because I actually deployed to Afghanistan twice as a government employee. And I did a lot of work for special forces out there. I did welding, cutting, designing. And at some point in my second deployment, they brought a 3D printer. And I've been asking for that for years. I remember my first deployment, I said, we need a 3D printer out here. It would be great. So we had this crappy MakerBot 3D printer back then, which was probably like the first company that made them cheap, was from Brooklyn. Now they have them everywhere, but that's the one I like. I have my own MakerBot here. And that's how I got into making things. And then I just got the idea to make jewelry because it's small and it prints fast.
Right.
That's one of the main reasons why I like that. And Shapeways was one of... is like kind of a new thing now where it's a store you can send your STL file, your 3D model, and they can print it for you in whatever material you want. And even in metal. So
So how would people find that if they're interested?
I'm on Shapeways. If you look my name up, Josue Cure, I'm even hireable, so I can like design something for you in 3D. If you would like a certain type of earring, you could draw it out and I can make it for you. So I'm on Shapeways. You could just look my name up on there.
So are you just doing earrings? You're not going to do pendants and necklaces?
I would like to get into other things, but you got to specialize. Basically, this is a guy that specializes on cuffs, you know, like for your...
Cufflinks?
Cufflinks, there we go.
Yeah.
And he made a bunch of money doing cufflinks. That's all he does. So I'm trying to do specialize in something. So right now I'm doing post earrings.
Okay, because cufflinks is like, nobody wears French cuffs anymore.
Right? Yeah, but it's he was like, doing like, imagine wearing a little Baby Yoda cuffling. You know?
That yeah, cool. Right. I could see people buying them, but no one's...
Yeah. Okay. Nobody wears it. Yeah, yeah. But so for some reason, people were buying it. So he was very successful.
You wear it with a tux, I guess, you know. Tux shirt, yeah, little Baby Yoda.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Or Mando on one side and Baby Yoda on the other.
So is there anything else we didn't talk about that you want to mention?
I think that's everything. I mean, I know you guys did the Kickstarter too. Did you guys have any like issues with the first Kickstarter at all? Or
I think we had we hit up every relative we knew, and that's, I think, got us over it.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to do, and I wasn't as successful with that, but that's good.
Well, we had, we had Thanksgiving with my wife's family, and so we hit up every relative there to back it, which helped a lot. But we did get some people. You know, we're still trying to, honestly, after we have 10 issues out, we're still trying to figure out who our ideal reader is. And trying to market more directly to them, that's the hardest thing, because you do good work and you just hope you kind of hope people will discover it. But as you'll probably find out with Comixology, it's like having a show on Netflix.
Unless
people search for it, they're not going
to. They do 3 months. Every 3 months, they show you the royalties, and I sold like 4 copies the first 3 months, and then it went to the one and then zero like right away. So it's really hard Comixology. That's more of like to have my stuff up there. So as I make comic books, you know, I don't have to find my printed one in the closet. I can just open it up on my iPad.
I have it right here. I'm surprised you don't have
it. I would love to do that, but I have a 2-year-old and she's gonna rip it up.
Oh, that's fine.
I just put it away for safekeeping.
No. You don't have like a whole box of these in your closet?
Oh, I don't. We only printed, I think it was like 38, or I forget how many. We just printed enough to send it to people.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't have a lot. It's very low quantity. And I don't think we're ever going to print any more of those unless we do it for the next Kickstarter. But I don't know. I don't know if we're going
to
do that.
Have you ever thought about trying to do a convention or a signing somewhere? Or
I would love to do that. At this point with coronavirus, it'll be kind of like a video Zoom type setting, you know, like that would be cool if they had like a convention with Zoom or something.
Right.
But it would be cool. Like once all this passes, maybe in 2022, we can all go at a convention and see each other out there.
We were this close to doing a signing at a fairly major comic book store here. And they canceled it on the Friday because we were going to do it on the Saturday and everything shut down on the Friday before.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. It happens with all this going on, but I'm sure it'll get better over time, you know. And I was gonna ask you, one of the questions was how that affected you and in your comic books and people that you know. Just the comic book industry, like I don't know how much it affected us since we work a lot online now. Yeah, but
you're not it affected us as far as we were hoping to try to do live events this year.
Yeah. That's how you get more followers too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah.
We've done we've had 2 signings, one at a comic book store on Free Comic Book Day a year ago, and then we did a really small comic book convention which wasn't really people looking for new comic books. It was more people looking for vintage comic books and toys and things. But we did that, and actually we got people on our mailing list that way.
Well, hopefully we'll be vintage in 100 years. So.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully then.
Like, where's the Power Squared section? I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. That'd be great if people even care, but.
Oh, they will. I mean, you get, like, you think Stan Lee, like when he came up with his stuff and like nobody really cared back then. It was like 1 cent or something. It takes time for these things to mature. You never know. You know, you guys can have a Netflix series by like in the next 10 years about this stuff. So. You never know.
We'd like that very much if Netflix is watching.
You know, Zach and Cody can be the actors
for it. They might be a little too old for.
I was going to say, well, if Tuttenstein got a successful Discovery Kids show, then.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's like the ultimate goal is to either animate, like in an. I would love that. I would love Reaper Rules as an anime. That would be so cool because they can go as bloody as they want. But a live action show would be like, it would be hard to watch. It would be like The Boys, but worse.
Yeah, we've thought about trying to pitch an animated show based on Power Squared.
And I've taken 2D animation. It's a lot of work, and you got to pay a lot more money. It's not like comic books, so it's tough.
Well, I don't think we're trying to do it independently. We're trying to sell it to somebody to put it on. Yeah, because like,
somebody loves it and they have the money. That would be amazing. You know, I hope you guys find that. But
so do we. Hope to find people out there who want to buy it. So we're going to be working on that really next year, is trying to market to our what we hope is our ideal reader.
And then I've been actually in charge of marketing, and the way I do it is I go on Facebook and I do like different. I test 18 to like I don't know 40. And see how many people I get as likes or something like that. And I do a lot of testing on there. And unfortunately, like when I do men and women, women only get like, I think like 20%, 10% or something like that. So I've been marketing a lot to men because it costs me less money per like, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, I would like to make a comic book that is geared towards women one day where I can just like market only to women. That'll be amazing.
That's a
big. I would like to know what would they like.
You know? You also need to also market to people that aren't necessarily reading comic books right now.
Yeah,
and you know, true. Who are interested in your story, and that's the way they'll get the story is through your comic book. So we're kind of going through that little. We've bought some ads on Facebook, and you get like 6,000 people will supposedly see it, and then 2 will actually click. You know.
Yeah, I had the same problem. I had like at some point we were getting like 300 likes and 400 likes. I'm like, wow, man, we're famous. Like, I don't know. This didn't happen before. So like when I look at the Kickstarter, I'm like, wait, what the hell? We only have like 28 backers. Like, what happened?
we're all those people that liked us. Yeah, I know.
No, one thing is like liking something, and another thing is putting your cash down, like that you need for your rent or something like that.
Or just clicking on the link to sign up for the mailing list. I mean, that's really hard. Yeah.
I would like for me, I use Facebook mostly, and the web series is one of the ways that we try to attract people. So it's free, and you can like it's called Living with the Undead, and it's about zombies and Dracula and werewolves and everything. We make it kind of funny. But you know, we try with that way. I don't know. I mean, with this new comic Superfoods, maybe we attract a different audience. But we don't even know who we are making it for. We just make it because we like it.
Yeah. So. It's kind of a labor of love, and then
labor of love. Yeah,
other people like love it too.
We're not like looking at like a group of people and say, okay, 18 to 20, this is what you like. You know, we're not doing that.
No, you can't really. So again, it's a process because there's a lot of independent comic books out there, and you kind of like discourage people from wanting to do it.
I was going to ask you, how'd you guys come up with the powers for each? Identical twin, how come they don't have the same powers?
Well, that was part of the whole setup, was they wouldn't have the exact same powers. You want
to... So the reason they don't have the exact same powers is kind of ties into the idea that twins, even though they have a lot of similarities, are things that are different about them.
That's awesome. I like that.
Like, for example, I got into writing and Trevor got into art.
Right. So the way they're given the powers in the story was from a magical kusune, and she had been, as I'm sure you've read, she was hit in the head and was a little kind of woozy, and instead of seeing two boys, she saw one, and so when she granted them the powers, they didn't get the exact same power. They got some of the same, but they got some different.
No, but I like that, that you said that identical twins, although their DNA is the same, there are some differences, like you like writing. But like even with my brother and I, we were not identical twins. We were a year and a half apart, but everybody always thought we were twins. I don't know why. I look nothing like me. Even today, they it's like they confuse our voices. My mom will call me Khalid on the phone. And I'm like, I'm Khalid. But my brother and I were so different personality-wise, you know. And and this is to how brothers are. I think like growing up, you kind of want to be different than your brother. You don't want to be the same.
Oh, trust
me. And you make it an effort to be different, you know, so people don't confuse you.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anything else you want to talk about? We're going to wrap it up here. Or?
Let me see. I had like all these prepared questions, but I was going to ask you something. I just recently got into VR, the Oculus Quest 2 that I'm using. And I saw this comic book on there that was semi-animated. It was pretty, I forgot what it's called, but you watch it and it's semi-animated and you can look, like you look left and there's a woman there.
Oh.
And you look right and there's a monster there. And like, and then she's walking with a bow and arrow and she's shooting at the monster in the next scene and you can click next. Do you guys ever see like doing something like that with VR? Just because, you know, making a whole animated show would be very expensive, but maybe there's people that can do VR, you know, type semi-animated things, you know, like a short. It was very short too. It wasn't very long.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah, you should look at that. And that's one of the things that one of the questions that I had with that. That's
that's a very good one. I honestly had not thought about that.
Yeah, we should look into that.
Yeah.
People love VR. I mean, VR is becoming a big thing now, and I'm always thinking about like, because my favorite thing is VR people. I play it all the time. But I also have VR, the Star Wars Tales of Galaxy's End, Edge. But it's awesome. I mean, like you can grab a tool and you see it, it's on your chest or it's on your buckle.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, with comic books, like imagine you on VR and you're like Ryan from Reaper Rules or, you know, one of the characters in the Power Squared or something like that. And you get to be that character and look at the scene or something.
Uh-huh.
That'd be cool. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought we could do a video game too, but that's another.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. How would that be like a role playing game or something, or with a story or?
Well, I figured you have two people. One of them, you know, you'd play as one of the twins, unless you played with somebody else.
Right.
I mean, I'm just sort of spitballing here, but
you know what would be cool, like a Battletoads Double Dragon type situation, like 2D.
Yeah, 2D brawler.
My brother used to beat me up. You know when like. In Battletoads and Double Dragon, you can beat each other up. Yeah. I don't know why they designed it that way, but my brother would kill me in the first level, and I'd have to play by himself the whole time.
That was why he did it, bro.
Yeah, it was on Sega Genesis. Somebody must have messed that up, put a zero instead of a one or something.
That's pretty good. All right. Well, we appreciate you being on the show.
And
we'll have to have you back, especially when you start rolling out more issues of Reaper Rules and Food Wars, Superfoods. Food Wars is a whole different show.
Later future. So, but Reaper Rules episode 2 is coming soon. I would say maybe next year, but early next year. So
okay, so
yeah.
All right. So if you are watching this on YouTube, leave a like. If you liked it, subscribe if you want to see more, and ring the notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
So until next week, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And you've been on the air with Power Squared.